Well, good morning and welcome to morning worship this morning. Our call to worship comes from Psalm 103, words from David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And we begin this service with a beautiful hymn, 650. The King is among us, his spirit is here. Let's draw near and worship, let songs fill the air. 650. Thank you. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you for bringing us here this morning to your house of prayer so that we can come and worship your wonderful name and give you all the thanks and praise you deserve. We thank you for being with us in the past week, for all the things we've had to do, for all the conversations you were in, for all the blessings you showered us with. Thank you for who you are to each one of us. We also want to ask your forgiveness for the times we used unkind words, for letting you down when we should have acted, for not thanking you when we've been at our sides in those difficult moments. Lord, we ask you to forgive us and help us to learn from our mistakes, that we can be the children you wish us to be, full of your love and joy, and patient and caring when times dictate. Lord, we bring our worship to you this morning. Bless each one of us here today, for those on Zoom and those hearing the service in the coming week. Lord, come close to us all now. Fill us with your love as we worship you. Amen. Let's say the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Last Sunday, we worshipped God through our wonderful favourite hymns. And this coming week, we have our day of prayer on Friday the 30th of May. And the idea is that the church doors will be open and anyone can come into the church and sit quietly and pray. But to give you a little bit of a help, different people have prepared tables. So as you enter the church, all the chairs will have moved, well, hopefully by the end of this morning, and there will be tables set out. So the idea is that you come in and you sit quietly, you can pray, and then you can also read the activities that have been put out for you, just to prompt you in your prayers. Now, we're starting at 10 o'clock, and we're going on till 4 o'clock. However, you can come in the morning, you can come at lunchtime, you can come in the afternoon, you can come here all day. But there will be light refreshments available in the schoolroom, and there will be somebody out in the schoolroom to make you a cup of tea or coffee whenever you pop in. And if you'd like a chat, I'm sure they're ready for a chat. So, come on Friday, come along and pray. So really, the theme for today's service sort of chose itself, really, prayer. Because prayer is such a personal part of our Christian life, but was often one of those areas where we wrestle to find time or even a quiet place to pray. And sometimes knowing how to start praying. And what about where can we pray? I know over the last few years, I've struggled with different daily Bible readings as a start to my prayer time. Finding the right time. I used to try early in the morning, but then I find I relax and drop off, which is no earthly good. And then life gets in the way, and it doesn't happen. At the moment, I'm trying a prayer journal, but I can honestly say that it's the prayer times that can be the most special time of my day. If I put that time and that space for God. So today, something completely different. We've got the members of our Wednesday fellowship taking part in the service. And Sally is going to start us off. Thank you, Sally.
Need the glasses. Well, my prayer life started when I was 2 weeks old. I was born into a Christian home, and my parents worshipped at the Anglo-Catholic Church nearby. And as was tradition at that time, I was taken to church with my mother to say prayers with the priest for my safe delivery. I was then taken to church every Sunday with my parents. Later, I attended the school attached to the church, and while I was there, we said prayers three times a day. Prayers in the morning, grace at lunchtime, and prayers before home. Also, we were taken into church every Friday for a communion service. I was bought this little book of the Lord's Prayer, which I often read, and you can see that it was well loved. And my grandchildren and my own children had a little dip into it too. Of course, these prayers were very childlike, but I think it instilled in me that the times of communication with God were important. As I matured and grew in faith, so did my prayers. I realised it was good to have a dedicated, quiet time to be still and pray. However, that is difficult when bringing up two small children. So prayer time often became hurried, often said at night when climbing into bed exhausted. And quite often, the prayer I offered up to the Lord was, "Please let the children sleep tonight." Sometimes answered and sometimes not. Since being retired, I can allot myself quality prayer time every day. And I have moved into, let's say, my senior years, my prayers have become more important to me and become more fluid. However, there are times in everyone's life when the enormity of a situation makes it difficult to know how to speak to God. A prayer blockage, I like to call it. Of course, we have the Lord's Prayer given to us for just this situation. I faced a situation like this in lockdown. I became terribly anxious. My daughter's a nurse and had to visit patients on the COVID ward, and I was very fearful she would catch it. I just didn't know how to pray. As ever, God knew I was experiencing this block. And one day, while searching the internet, he provided me with the answer, an easy way to formulate your prayers, teaspoon prayers. Now, those of you who've ever followed a recipe know that the abbreviation for teaspoon is TSP. Using that abbreviation provides us with a simple formula to follow. T for thank you, S for sorry, and P for please or petition. To start, you only need to have one simple thing to thank God for, one thing to say sorry for, and one thing to ask God for. Then, as the blockage recedes, you can build on these prayers. I found it so helpful and just enabled me to be able to focus on just one day at a time. Who knew that a simple thing in my cutlery drawer would be the answer to my prayers?
Thank you, Sally. We're going to sing again. Number 67, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. And it's the words, fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou dost do. Number 67. And now we're going to have a reading from Philippians. Thank you, Jill. You're going to lead us with that. Thank you.
Okay, my reading today is from Philippians. It's a thanksgiving and a prayer. I thank God for every time I remember you, in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of the partnership in the gospel from the first days until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have had in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Jesus Christ. And in this prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of and insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amen.
I'm like Sally, I've got to take my glasses off so I can see. Like Sally, I was brought up in a Christian home and we went to church where we prayed, but I was never encouraged to pray at home. So my prayer life didn't really start until I got converted at Billy Graham Crusade when I was about 13. So that was when my prayer life started, but it didn't start very well because being a 13-year-old, you know, you've got other things to do than pray. So it wasn't until I was older that I realised how important prayer was. And I think in any relationship, talking, listening and acting on what has been said is important, and the relationship with Christ is no different. So that's how I view prayer, as a relationship and talking to God. I tend to try and pray in the morning because that's about the only time I have on my own, and other things crowd in. So morning is a good time to pray for me, but it's not easy because sometimes you get up late and other things come on, so you don't actually pray. Sometimes it's hard to pray. Sometimes words come, I don't know about you, but sometimes words come out and I wish I had more time. Other times you sit there thinking, well, I don't know what to pray about. And you think, well, there must be numerous things to pray about, but words just don't come. So as I say, sometimes it's easy, sometimes it isn't. Sometimes you pray and all the words come out and they don't make sense, but you know that by the time it gets up to heaven, the Holy Spirit has sorted it out and it does make sense. So by the time it gets up there, you know, it makes sense, which is good really sometimes. And the other thing that I find hard, but I don't about other people, is listening. To be in God's presence and be still is difficult because it starts off all right, but then you think about what you're going to do in the afternoon, what you're having for dinner, what shall I have for lunch? But it's important for me to actually be still in God's presence, because otherwise you can't hear what he's going to say. But it's difficult because other things crowd in to say, you know, what you're going to have for lunch and et cetera, et cetera. But it's a good thing to learn to do. I don't know, when I don't pray in the morning, somehow it doesn't seem right. The day just doesn't seem to go quite as well as if you do actually bring God into the day right at the beginning. But it doesn't mean to say that I shut the door and I don't pray anymore. Some days it's like that, but when something happens, it's good to do those arrow prayers for help. Doesn't always get answered. I remember one up in Scotland recently, some of you might know, some of you might not, that my car broke down. My earnest prayer to the Lord was, could you fix the car? Because I was the one that would have to drive from Scotland to here, and I don't like driving. So that was a very good, sudden prayer. He didn't answer me, but the car didn't get fixed, and we had to have a hire car. But I didn't have to drive all the way because Chris managed to get his details onto the hire car thing, so he could drive as well. But that was an arrow prayer in desperation of, please, I don't want to drive from Scotland. So there are times when you need to have those prayers, sudden prayers, but you don't always get the answer you want. But, you know, I got looked after, we got home safely, and so the prayer was answered. So, as I say, relationship with God is important, having that prayer. Even though I don't do it sometimes, that's still my lifeline to God. And as best as I can, I pray, and it helps, and it's good. So we're going to have a next hymn, which is 133, Father, I Place Into My Hands.
And now we come to our prayers of intercession. And a few more verses from Philippians 4 as we open our time of prayer. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for these words. We do rejoice in the Lord for all of his provision for us, for his never-ending love that surrounds us and sustains us each day. We thank you that you came into our world to show us how to live our lives for you and to be a blessing to one another. Forgive us when we let you down and say things which are upsetting, when we hurt our friends. But Lord, we know you are a forgiving God. Help us to be the people you want us to be, so that we can be a shining light in our community for you. Lord, we've sung this beautiful hymn, placing all the things that worry and concern us into your hands. Lord, be with the peace negotiations happening in different parts of the world. Lord, we just ask that you will turn hearts of stone into hearts that genuinely desire peace, rather than bringing terror and destruction to all those innocent people that have not asked to be part of the conflicts. Lord, send peace into our world. We pray for Sharon as she has her time with her sabbatical, a time to be refreshed and come closer to you. Refresh her as only you can, and fill her with your spirit of love and joy, and send her back to us refreshed and ready to be your minister in our church. Lord, we ask that you will be with her in all she reads, in all she hears, and in her reflections with you. Hold her close to you at this time. We ask that you will be those waiting for operations and procedures that need your special touch at this time. We think of others that are recovering from falls and accidents. Be with them in their pain and discomfort, and that they may know that you will never leave them, especially when times are hard and painful. Be with all those that care for loved ones. Give them wisdom and patience as they take on the role of carer. Lord, be with us this morning. You know the week we've had. You know the people we've met. You know our personal situations. You know our families and our friends and all that's going on with them. But Lord, we ask that you will be with us now. Come close to us and be with all that we do for you in the coming days. And finally, some more words from Philippians. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. And now I'm going to hand over to Brian.
Of courage from the Old Testament, and it's one of the problems. When he was mainly on the radio, or the wireless, as we used to call it then. He's written his version of most of the events in the Old Testament. So I'll now read this one, The Lion's Den. The king of Persia, Darius the Great, put in new governors of his provinces, 120 of them, all answerable to three presidents. He had heard of Daniel and made him one of those three top men of his kingdom. It mattered little to Darius that Daniel was not of Babylon, but was really an exile from Judah, a Jew. It mattered a lot to the other top men, though, and to the governors and counselors who had to answer to Daniel. They hated him. And the more Darius trusted Daniel, the more jealous they became. So they did a little plotting. Daniel was incorruptible, an absolutely honest man, a loyal man. Difficult to discredit or destroy such a man. So the plotters, knowing that Daniel was deeply religious and that he prayed every day to his God three times a day and had no time for all the other idols and images, they decided to get at him that way. They prepared an order, a law dealing with a short period called an interdict, which said that anyone making a petition or a request to any power but the king's within the next 30 days would be cast into the palace den of lions. They presented this to King Darius with so many heretofores and howsoevers and suitable legal language that the poor chap didn't know what he was signing. Within a week, they were back with lots of witnesses to say how President Daniel just ignored the new law and petitioned and requested and prayed to his God three times a day. And the law is of the Medes and Persians, they shouted, and cannot be revoked. Poor Darius. He knew what he'd done and tried every way allowable to undo it, but it was impossible. He'd established a law and it could not be set aside, not even for a friend. Daniel also knew how he had been betrayed, but said nothing. Just prayed as usual, three times a day. Well, the plotters brought the order for Daniel's death, and the king signed it, and he and Daniel went down to the palace stew together. You have served me with the same devotion you serve your God, said the king, and I have killed you. May your God treat you better than I have. They shook hands, and Darius could not see for his own tears. The cave of lions was sealed with a great stone, then with the seals of the king and the court. Darius went to his palace and mourned for his friend. He would eat no food and couldn't sleep a wink. As dawn broke the next day, the king went back to the cave. He didn't know why. Wild hope, maybe. Daniel's God could do even this thing. Daniel was quite unharmed. The lions had shown no interest in him at all. And they'd been starved for days by the plotters. When Daniel had laid down among them for warmth, they just made room. Darius was overjoyed. And when no one word of approach came from Daniel, the king saw clearly who served him best and gave orders regarding the plotters. And the lions didn't go hungry at all. Then Darius made a great proclamation in all the languages of his great empire that Daniel's God, the God of the Jews, was the living God, everlasting, a God who creates signs and wondrous things, and who saved my friend Daniel, wrote the king, from the lions.
Thank you, Brian. We all love a good story, don't we? We're going to sing again. 746. What a friend we have in Jesus. And it's those words in chapter 2. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. 746. Thank you.
When Debbie asked me to share about my own personal prayer life, I was a little bit taken aback. I'm not very good at sharing about deep personal things. I've always found it hard, and I get very anxious about things. So I said to the Lord, "All right, Lord, if you want me to do it, then you've got to show me exactly what to say, how to say it, and what to do." And I've worried all week about it. But on last Wednesday, we went down to the Christian bookshop. And in my mind, the Lord kept telling me that prayer is a gift from God. So I thought, right, I'll have a look at the second-hand book section and see what about the books about prayer. So I went along, and I tell you, there's a whole row, hundreds of books about prayer. But right in the middle, I saw a little book, and it said, "Prayer is a gift from God, a number of prayers that people around the world have said. So I thought, right, Lord. So I got that. And I'm not using any prayers from that, but I had a look at it. And it wasn't about prayer. It was actual prayers for people from different groups and different things. And I thought, right, Lord, this is what you want me to talk about. Prayer as a gift from God in my daily life. Now, I always like a story, and a story that came back to my mind helped me to realise again how much gift prayer is a gift of God. Prayer is a journey. You've heard from the other people that spoke, and I can identify really with everything that everybody said so far today. But it's a journey, and it's a life. And as we walk with God day by day, it's not an easy journey. It's an up and down one. And this is a story about a missionary who was leaving Africa, and he was saying his goodbyes. And an old lady travelled on foot from a long way to away to thank him for the fact that he pointed her to Jesus and to say her goodbye. It was a long way, and obviously she was barefoot. When she arrived and sat and chatted with him, he noticed that her feet were bruised and cut and bleeding. And he asked her about it. And she said to him, the walk is part of the gift. Now, when I heard that story a long time ago, that really, really spoke to my heart. God, when he sent Jesus, Jesus died on the cross. And his walk was his gift to us, and he died for us. And in a very similar way, God was sort of saying to me, your walk is your gift to me as you come to me and trust me and pray to me. And really, that's exactly what I want to say today. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I was sent to Sunday school by my mum, I think probably to give her a little bit of time on her own with my sister. And I heard the gospel, but it didn't really make sense until I was a teenager. I became part of a choir, the church choir. I learned all the words and everything. But it didn't become real until I realized that Jesus died for me and I became to trust him as my savior. And as I grew as a Christian, I met other people and I began to learn how to pray, really pray, not just go through the form of the words. I was taught you got to have a quiet time, and yeah, sometimes that got a little bit legalistic, and it has to be in the morning, and that kind of thing. But one day, somebody gave me a little book. I can't remember exactly who gave it me now, and it was called Practicing the Presence of God. And it was about a monk in a monastery, and obviously the monks pray all the time. But he was the cook. So somebody said to him, well, how do you go on when you've got to pray all the time when you're the cook and you're doing the cooking? And he said, God is with me all the time and I practice his presence by remembering he's there and talking to him and praying. And that was a real lesson to me. And one of the things I remember about my nursing training was when I was on night duty and things, I remembered that. And I used to say, thank you, God, that you're with me and I can talk to you while I'm doing the routine things. And everything I do, I'm not doing for myself or for the people. I'm doing it for you and to show my love for you. And that's a principle, but I've not always kept it. But I really believe that God helped me in those times to do that. When I learned that people prayed for me, that was another tremendous blessing. And as we go along life's road, we get the bruises, we get the bumps, we get what we think isn't answer to prayer, and yet God is with us all the time. And now, in later years, it's a bit different. I really had to learn that you can't always pray first thing in the morning when you've got a family. They're awake before you are very often. Sometimes at night, you're too tired to sleep. But as I've got older, I've learned that I need to just talk to God about everything. Everything takes longer. So what I try to do is when I wake up first thing in the morning, now I get my cup of coffee and I actually take it back to bed very often. And I've got a little app on my phone that that my daughter told me about, a prayer app. So I just very quietly sit and listen to that and pray before I get into the day. And then I get into the day, and when I can, I stop and have a bit of time to read and pray later in the morning. But very often something else comes in and I'm not able to. And then if I have a rest in the afternoon, I'll try and maybe remind myself to think about God and to pray. I try to talk to God as I walk through the day. When I'm cooking or when I'm doing things, just to know that he's with me in all the things. But the hardest thing I find quiet is being quiet. I'm not very good at sitting listening to God. And over lockdown, again, I found that quite difficult. And my daughter gave me a book of Bible verses that you colour. Now, I have never coloured in my life. I'm not an artist of any kind of description. But, you know, I found that so helpful, just to sit quietly, colour a Bible verse and think about it, and then, you know, do other things. I like to do lots of practical things with my hands. I just try to remind myself that God is there all the time. Sometimes I can't pray. Sometimes I get very upset and cry. But you know, God knows, he understands, and he cares. In the evening, before I go to bed, recently for my birthday, I had a book given, and it's called Simply and Lowly. And it's a book about the Puritans, how they discovered that God loves them and how God loves them. And it goes through the Bible explaining how God loves us. And you know, it was a real revelation to me. We know it in our heads. We know it that Jesus died for us. And yet, do we really know that God loves us that much? The Bible tells us over and over again, but it doesn't register. And that's something I need to learn. However much I fail, however much I get things wrong, however much I need to come back and ask for forgiveness, God still loves us. And that, to me, is the most wonderful thing in the world. I use hymns sometimes, and that's the heritage of learning lots of hymns when I was a child. Really helps me because it comes back to mind. I'm being very honest. I often fail. I often get things wrong. But the steadfast love never fails. And I wanted to read to finish a passage that actually has already been read. Philippians 4. Beginning at verse 4. I always be full of joy in the Lord, and I say again, rejoice. That's not always my experience, but I'd like it to be. Let everyone see that you consider all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And as life gets harder and as the way gets rougher, we all need to remember that. We're going to sing now, The Lord's My Shepherd. And I'd already got that mentioned in my bit, but I missed it because I knew we were going to sing it.
Thank you.
And can you just turn your hymn books to 557? And we will sing the blessing through twice together.